Everyone knows that. Hi, David. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. Thanks for letting me be on this morning.
No, and I'm glad you got a chance to come in because I wanted to talk to you about this. In particular, the $817 million that just suddenly popped up in the House of, one week ago tomorrow.
Yeah. How convenient before we take a couple weeks off from the from doing business in Springfield anyways. It never stops down here. But how conveniently do we all of a sudden come up with an option for people? Very interesting.
I thought so too. You know, and my little spider senses go off, and I wonder. You know, I've heard Mike Madigan doesn't have much to do with the budget, but I've also been told that nothing happens on the House floor without his approval.
You got that right. You know, here's what's going on. We had the 13 bills over in the Senate that was they were working on. That's kind of fallen by the wayside. Senator Brady's now come up with some different ideas and some different bills that they're working on. So you have the Senate Republicans and Democrats that are working together. The governor is supportive of that. The Republican the House is we're waiting. We would love to get a budget, but you know what I didn't just bring up was one group that is kind of, that is holding it up, and that is the Democrats in the House, and then Mr. Madigan, as you talked about a second ago, that seems to be where the crux of holding this thing up as far as getting a budget. The $817 million, yes, it's there, and do we want to keep doing the stopgap stuff? Do we want to start with, you know, what the governor talks about, the duct taping this thing? I call it Band-Aids. Do we want to do that, or let's stop doing these little things just to kind of get, you know, throw a crumb to people. Let's get something done. Let's do something what needs to be done, and that's a budget.
We have $817 million in the commitment to Human Services Fund and the Education Assistance Fund, one for social services, clearly enough, and Education Assistance Fund, solely higher education. But when I was speaking with Representative Phelps earlier this week, got the impression there were a number of other items in back there involving tax breaks and property taxes, and there are a lot of other things other than disseminating this under $817 million. There's a lot of stuff here just besides this money.
Right. And, you know, again, the thing that's so I'm not sure which adjective to use here, Tom, is that this, you know, he talked about, hey, it's been sitting there for 2 years. That's exactly right. We haven't had a budget in 2 years. We could have done this 2 years ago. And what we want to just throw a little bit at people and say, hey, you should be appreciative of that. What we should be doing is getting a full, balanced budget and fund the things that need to be done the correct way. And we wouldn't be having these discussions. And so people, it's almost like, hey, you should be appreciative. We're going to throw something at you. And that's not right. That is not right. There are people hurting. We're getting calls every day. We're talking to people. It's not right.
And so I'm after your comments, I'm inclined to believe that you didn't vote for it.
No, sir.
Okay. Well, I wanted to ask to make sure I was, you know, being clear with our listeners here this morning. So I got the impression after speaking with the governor yesterday, he was not inclined to sign it either.
I believe that's the impression that he gave yesterday when he spoke at ICE. And by the way, that was a great day yesterday. He was there doing a press conference, and Senator Fowler and I were there at 10 o'clock yesterday morning, and we got a tour of the Eisen factory. Tom, what an awesome place. 1,800 staff that are working there, and I kind of segued into this Eisen thing, if we can talk about them just for a minute. You know, Senator Fowler and I, we were talking about why did the Dairy Queen that's on the west end of Marion, why did Marion need the third Dairy Queen? Well, after yesterday getting that tour, it was like, duh, there's 1,800 people working about a quarter of a mile just to the north of that Dairy Queen, and then you have the Heartland Regional Hospital just to the south. Well, it made sense, but if you're just somebody on Route 13 driving along, you think, why in the world does Marion get a third Dairy Queen? What an awesome facility. If we can talk about them just for a minute, we found out some great stuff. Their payroll is $67 million. They employ 1,800 people. When they started in 2000,
and want more.
Exactly right. In 2002, when they started, they had 100 people. And since 2009, do you know how much trash they send to the landfill? This is absolutely astounding. Zero. They send zero amount of trash to the landfills. They recycle 100% since 2009. I got so excited when I found out about that. I thought, you know, Anywhere I go, my parents taught us, you know, that at Severn Nursing Home, the property was literally immaculately spotless clean. And so I've just taken that in my life. And everywhere I go, I pick up trash, whatever, not to get noticed, but because I take pride in where I'm at. And they are really doing that at ISIN. And I thought, what would be a great opportunity to recycle Southern Illinois. I came up with that idea yesterday. Let's challenge Southern Illinois to do the same thing. So we'd love to use them as an example. And that's just some of the things that we found out yesterday at ISIN.
Well, there were two other particular items that I think, since we're on this subject, is one is their decide to grow the business with this new smelting operation. That's substantial, and that means an investment. I met a couple of people from Japan recently at the subway in Marion while I was having lunch, and they were there doing improvements and upgrades as well.
Right.
And knowing that basically ISIN is every day looking for good employees, every day, men, women, in lots of different departments, and have a problem keeping up. And then, of course, you've got your appearance at the Chamber of Commerce related to ISIN, who started and helped build this sister city relationship with Connie Japan.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I asked Mayor Butler, I said, okay, Mayor, when I'm getting ready to give this resolution at the Marion Chamber of Commerce luncheon at Cocopelli on Wednesday, I said, so how do you pronounce this? He says, Dave, it's Kaney. He said, they say it's Kanye. He said, but it's okay for them to be wrong. And then he chuckles, you know. I said, okay. So I've decided to call Mayor Butler my dad now. And so, because I just feel like when I'm talking to him, I'm talking to my dad. So Marion is a proud sister city with Kanye Japan. And I asked him, I said, so how did all this start? Well, there's an ISIN factory, of course, that's close to Kanye. And so actually, back in 2010, they started this relationship. And they've had people come over from Japan. We've had people come from the United
States.
School
kids, business
people. Exactly right. Just absolutely awesome.
Junior high kids.
What a positive, awesome thing. And with all the junk and all the negative things going on, an awesome thing. And then I met Jimmy. His name is something Kato, but he just goes by his name is Jimmy. He's the president of one of the three factories there. And what a upbeat, positive guy. Very proud of what's going on. And I told him, I said, hey, I said, Mayor Butler calls it Kaney. He starts laughing. He says, Kanye, Kanye, Kanye.
Connie.
But exactly
Connie.
Right. Yes.
Connie Japan. I called and checked.
Yes.
And I noticed you did that at the Chamber of Commerce, that there had been a House resolution, I believe House Resolution 337, maybe? 336.
Yes, sir.
That was the recognition of the sister city status in Marion that you had done. But on the other hand, you know, of a number of people saying, you know, this whole idea of a House resolution for a bicycle exercise, state exercise, there's a few people that are less than excited about that aspect,
yeah,
David.
You know, when I told people that that I was interested in doing that, I got positive and negative. And here's the positive spin on this. And then I looked and, you know, because there's like, there's the state bird and there's the state, popcorn and all these different
state
things.
State dances, square dancing.
There you go. But the reason was two things. I'm on the tourism committee. I love cycling myself personally, but what a great opportunity to promote tourism in the state of Illinois. And in Southern Illinois, there's over 55 miles of bicycle routes that people can ride. As far as you have the Tunnel Hill ride, then you've got around Wren Lake, and there's places all over that are just absolutely awesome. In fact, just coming in this morning, I believe it looks to me like there's a walking trail behind us. I don't know if they're going to allow bicycles on that.
I believe they are.
And there's even talk of something going between Marion and Carbondale someday. But I realize in all the negative things going on, why would you make cycling the exercise for the state of Illinois? It was to promote two things. Exercise, cycling, you can, my grandson that's 5 years old, he bicycles, and you can have people up in their 80s and 90s. And all different kind of retrofits. In fact, I met a lady that has a prosthetic leg, and she cycles with her husband. I said, how far do you go? She says, well, I can only go 5 or 6 miles. So it's an opportunity for everyone. It's an opportunity to promote Illinois and tourism, because people love cycling. They'll come to the area, spend money, and so that's why we did it.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if you spend $5 million to do it, as is the proposed plan between Murfreesboro and Carbondale, a $5 million tab, and somebody at the Illinois Department of Corrections who says, hey, why can't we have our back pay for the years and our back pay raises we've been owed for nearly 3 years?
Sure. Well,
see, that's really
yes,
it. You've got this guy's firsthand saying, look, wait a second, man, you guys haven't been able to pay me 3 years, but apparently we do have $5 million for a bike trail.
Well,
and see, in that contrast
sure.
is what really it rubs people the wrong way.
Can I say this? When we made the exercise for the state is cycling, the cost of that is absolutely zero. As far as this bike trail between Marion and Carbondale,
any piece of legislation costs money. Any piece of legislation through the House, I know this for a fact.
Okay.
Any resolution costs money because of the procedures in which to put it in place and record keeping.
Sure,
but it's done within the shell. You're not expending any money.
Exactly.
But
right. There's no appropriations.
Every act in Springfield costs money.
Right.
Every act.
Sure. Yes, sir. But there's no appropriation. So in other words, there isn't hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions or whatever. That was just to recognize that to promote cycling in
right.
the state. So you're exactly right. There is bookkeeping things to be done and that. But as far as the this bike trail that we just talked about between Marion and Carbondale, that has nothing to do with cycling as
right.
the exercise. So
yeah.
I just wanted to say that.
Good. Yeah. Unless, of course, they're
sure.
exercising on the path. So Illinois moving forward. If the governor's not going to sign that lifeline, that's what Brandon Phelps, I thought it was interesting. He called it a lifeline while I was calling a stopgap, and he didn't change his verbiage. And then I talked with David McSweeney yesterday. He talks about we're bringing in about 32 point something, 33 billion, but we're spending 38, 37 billion. You know, that stacks up. You've got SIU saying we're going to have to cut 31 million. We've got the Women's Center cutting down. Granted, not in your district, but you've got problems to
sure.
yours. And I think the Women's Center has outreach centers in your district.
Sure.
And people are wondering what's next. And then the election aspect where people are a little less likely to do things since they are coming up for election.
Right.
And people are wondering what's to be done with the $31 million at SIU, the Women's Center. They're starting to see some very real things that might go away. I mean, the Women's Center's been doing this in like 1971, 1976, and thinking about closing in 3 months.
Sure. And that's what's so important, that we need to work together and let's get this budget done. And again, this stopgap thing.
What do you think needs to have to? I mean, literally.
Sure.
Are we just going to? I mean, if you look back historically, in more than one occasion, state legislatures have literally run away from the states, and the governor sent National Guard to go get them in other states. I mean, this has happened more than once.
Right.
And in Illinois, by the way, Civil War era. What has to be done? Do we have to lock everybody in a room and say, you don't come out until you got a budget? I mean, you've watched this for a
long
time. And it's what drove you to the White House, to Springfield.
Yes, sir.
It's what drove you in the
yes,
winning
sir.
Election was the prospect of solving this. So what do we do now that you got a real taste for the acrimonious bipartisan
right.
nature of Springfield?
Yep.
What has to be done to make this happen?
We got to quit being the Republicans and Democrats and be Illinoisans. I keep saying this everywhere I go, and it sounds good, but we got to step up to the plate and really do that. And it's the only way that we can solve this thing, and it can be solved. And that is, we've got to work together. But that politics stuff is, hey, we're going to hold off. We're not going to let Governor Rauner have any success, so we can beat him in 2018. So you're willing to put power over people, and that is what is ruining this state, is power over people.
It's what's running this country.
And it's
they do that in Washington, D.C. a fair amount. I think they keep learning bad lessons from one another and replicating them.
Yes, sir. And there's people that are hurting. I mean, like you talked about SIU, John A. Logan. I can tell you from a daycare that's owed maybe $8,000 or $10,000 to people that are owed hundreds of thousands to millions and everything in between. And,
yes.
And all that is people, Tom. And again, that thing I just said was power over people.
Do you think
that
the
is
judge,
wrong.
When the judge said, hey, you got to pay the legislators? I mean, that, you know, I'm like, I'm going, you know, if you
I didn't
you,
like it,
we're just going to keep doing stuff. I mean, is this the same guy that decided it was a good idea to put a John Wilkes Booth statue at the Lincoln Museum? You got to wonder about our common sense or the lack thereof. That, and that, I think, is why, because you know this, David, because they've been out talking to you, and this is why you got elected. They were PO'd.
That's right.
And still nothing's done after the election. Which they, you know, made a lot of changes
sure.
in that election, and they want something done.
That's right.
And people, it's like nobody can get traction, and you realize the reason why is because somebody put a lot of grease on the road.
Yeah, that's exactly right. With all that negative, there are some positive things going on. We've put together 10 committees of something that I talked about in my campaign that I came up with driving down the road one day. Thought, you know what, if and when I get elected, I'm going to put some committees together to find out what the needs are in my district. district, so I can reach out to people and they can reach out to me. And so,
you know, that was one of the items that when you spoke with me last time, I got positive feedback on a number of people. In particular, I noticed women had come to me and says, you know, I heard State Representative David Severin talking about what you called a brain trust when you and I were talking. So you want to create a brain trust with people who are experts in each category. That, by the way, a lot of people came to me and said, that is an appealing idea. It should have been done before.
Sure. So what we did is we met with over 100 people at John A. Logan, and I'll just give you the committees: agriculture, tourism, clergy, healthcare, veterans, energy, mayors, education, business, and law enforcement. Those were the 10 committees. So what we did is we met, and I tell you, I got a text after that morning. We met, I think it was April the 24th, something. I don't remember exactly what day it was, but it was a Friday at John A. I got a text from a gentleman that's in the law enforcement. He said, Mr. Severin, in the 22 years I've been in law enforcement, I've never had a legislator person reach out to me and ask me for my opinion. And I responded back, thank you, but I also responded, my title is representative. That my title is not Mr. Know-It-All. I'm a representative of the 117th. And so I say this little thing, and maybe I should not say it because some people maybe don't understand it, but I tell people I'm smart enough to know I'm not very smart, and that's pretty smart. And that's why, you know, when I have a question, and we've already implemented this, Tom. I was on the floor. We were getting ready to take a vote on something. And I quickly texted the chairman of the education committee, and I said, hey, where are you? Where are we on this? And the guy said, thank you for asking me. I'm at an ROE meeting right now. I'm in a room with all the superintendents. It worked out perfect. He asked the guys. He texted me right back, and I had the answer, and I was able to vote the correct way that the educators needed us to vote. Right. And so that's the purpose of this, and that's one of the things we're doing
on
a positive note.
So everybody who's a state legislator needs a brain trust, and every one of them needs a CPA.
Yep.
Or a math teacher.
There you go. You're right.
Right? Grade school level math should be fine. I mean, I can do it.
Yes, sir.
We're behind the eight ball. It's cumulative. And and somebody asked me about this because they said, look, I'm leaving the state. I'm leaving the state 2021. I'm going across the river. I'm going to Paducah, or I'm going all the way to Florida, one or the other. But I'm out of here. I'm out of here 2021. I've already made my plans. I'm looking for a place to buy. And then down in Caro, people who are here, we've decided we'll just move them anyway.
Sure.
We've got a whole new way
we'll
of getting people
around
out of the state now if we want to, because once you bust that up, there are going to be people who just leave.
Right.
So we've decided there's another way of chasing people out. So, and we lose jobs, we lose people, we lose them to Indiana largely according to the new statistics, and it's time to get something done because this dire nature, but, you know, with the prospect of an election, I just don't see it, David.
Yeah.
And see, this for you has got to be frustrating, doggone thing. Because you know it needs to be done. Everybody agrees it needs to be done.
Right.
Yet nobody does it. It's like dog makes a mess on the carpet, and everybody looks around and goes, yeah, we probably ought to clean up. They walk over it, and they go out the door, and they buy themselves a cheeseburger and come back and wonder why it's not been taken care of, because nobody took the initiative. Everybody knows it needs to be done, and not being done is hard for me, and I know it's hard for you because it's not your personality type.
You're exactly right. I mean, I'm from the private sector of business that I was raised in our family, and the business that I personally have, as I've said on here, I think before, that I was raised where my father said that for every problem, there's a solution. You find the solution, and you put it to the problem, and you move on, and we're not doing that. And I go back to that power over people thing, but people are hurting today, and when are we going to wake up and realize, and say, you know what, I'm going to stand up to the people that won't let me have a budget. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about some other people in this state. When are they going to stand up and say, you know what? My people that are hurting are more important than the power that's running this thing. That's what politics is, and I don't like it.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Look out here in this construction zone. Somebody drives through there illegally too high in a construction zone, they get a ticket, like $300, $225, depending on talking on the phone how fast they're going. It's against the law. It's against the law to not have a budget that's balanced. Yet no one gets it written as much as a $5, $2 ticket. Maybe punishment of some form or another. Maybe you're not allowed to run for re-election if the budget's not balanced. Maybe you don't get paid. Maybe you get paid less if your budget's not balanced. Because anybody who runs a business who doesn't have a budget runs it unwisely, somebody suffers as a result, except in government. And any bad action that is basically rewarded is repeated.
Yeah, there's no repercussions, are there? And it's disgusting.
Bad behavior rewarded is repeated.
That's exactly right. You know, we've made some small strides. We've picked up some seats. We're moving as far as our party, but we've got to continue. We got to get people to wake up and stand up. That's the thing. I think people have woken up, if that's the correct word.
I do too.
But now we got to stand up now that we've woken up, and that's the key.
And then we stand up, and we're in two very distinct columns that don't want to talk to one another, so
right.
Deeply polarized.
Sheer necessity
has to drive us at some point. Yeah,
sure.
You got something else in your mind?
Can I throw something else?
Sure.
I want to talk just for a minute. The veterans flight that's coming up on the 25th. Honor flight that's coming up on the 25th of April. What an awesome day. And working on a resolution, out of the House to make that day, the honors flight day, not only here in Southern Illinois, but for the state, and we're working on getting some certificates made for the all the veterans. What an awesome day, an awesome thing here in Southern Illinois. And along with that, I got a phone call yesterday from the mayor of Craneville wanting to talk about this overpass right here.
Ron called you? Yeah.
Yep, he called and said, hey, I got an idea. He said, what do you think about naming that Veterans Memorial Overpass or Veterans Memorial Bridge?
It's a lot more charming than Bridge to Nowhere.
That's exactly right. And so I said, you know what, let's look into that, and let's take something that's negative and turn it into something positive. And so I just wanted to throw that out. So we've got some things going on with, you know, the veteran flight and the honor flight and then this. So I just wanted to throw that out.
Well,
there.
Ron, of course, a former member of the National Guard.
Yes.
And known Ron for many years and a great guy. He was there during the riots at SIU.
Really?
As a National Guard member. Yeah.
Wow.
He's a pretty interesting guy if you get him to hold still long enough to talk about it. By the way, the veterans flight that David Severn, state representative, is talking of, they're asking for people to come out and welcome those veterans home Tuesday night, April 25th at 9 o'clock at the Veterans Airport, formerly known as the Williamson County Airport. Illinois State Representative David Severn. David, thanks so much for your time, pal.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great day.